This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. In my opinion, this is by far the biggest news of the past week. The Chinese scientist who claimed to have gene-edited two baby girls. Have you guys heard about this one?
Yes.
Right. Like, in 500 years from now, no one's going to care about Trump or Twitter. But right. If this guy actually did what he said he did, and you never know with people, but if it did happen, I mean, this is big news. So a few days ago at an international summit on theory of human gene editing, there was a Chinese scientist whose name was, pardon the pronunciation, I think it's Jian Kui He, and he claimed to have gene edited two twin girls to make them resistant to the HIV virus. They were part of an experiment involving couples where there was like an HIV positive father and an HIV negative mother. And they wanted to help these HIV positive fathers have children who were uninfected by the disease. So they used a technology known as the CRISPR, which allows you to cut out and replace pieces of DNA, and they used them on embryos. So before you start cracking on China, these were illegal in China.
Yeah,
right.
So it's not legal. And I read in a BBC article, apparently the norms governing embryo research is you do the gene modification, but you don't fertilize the embryos, or you don't let the embryos come to term. But he claims to have done it. Any thoughts on this one? The potential that the first gene-edited human beings have been born?
Well, as the only one on this show right now who is a guest on Bill Nye Saves the World to actually discuss these issues, I think I will begin. Right? So for me, there are two things, right? So the first is, this is wicked scary, right? Oh, yeah. In many ways. And for me, the scariest part is, you know, we still know so very little about gene environment interactions.
Yes.
That even if we know that we have identified the gene, right, responsible for encoding or being susceptible to AIDS or HIV, I should say, and you edit that out, we have absolutely no idea what that's going to do to the rest of you, uh-huh. Right? That's number one. And number two, I actually get really upset about the way in which the media is framing this in terms of a discussion about designer babies, huh. Right?
Yeah.
Because to me, like, designer is like, you know, that's some extra stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I need a handbag. I'm going to go up to a Louis Vuitton, right? Mm-hmm. And what this scientist was attempting to do wasn't something trivial like, yeah. Oh, blue eyes versus brown, right? This was actually trying to actually ensure resistance to a life-threatening disease.
Mm-hmm. For me, some of the issues that come up with this, at least reading the media, some of the coverage of this, is it sounds like the scientists did not have what I would consider to be adequate consent from the parents. So it sounds like he presented some pretty misleading information to his team and to the parents, and that he did not have the collaboration and support of the scientific and scholarly community.
Yeah.
And to me, this raises, if this is not morally problematic, why did he not do these things in the appropriate way? And the fact that he didn't suggests he knows it's morally problematic in so many levels.
This is like some Island of Dr. Moreau stuff.
Yes. Yes. And so even if the outcome or long term, we think that this ends up, you know, saving people from a lot of suffering and has no downstream negative implications, the fact that he went about it in this way suggests that he knows there's problematic parts of it. And it's sort of fruit of the poisonous tree here, right? Like,
yeah,
we just can't accept this.
Like, on one hand, yes, it's very scary and against the scientific community's wishes. But, like, on the other hand, he presented it at a conference about gene editing theory, right? Like, we're working on it. Like, let's not – like, what are they? There's no conferences on unicorns, because that's not going to happen. But, like, who are we fooling, you know?
Yeah,
so,
right.
Everybody's gearing up for it. Here are my takes. Number one, everybody hates the IRB, right? And then you hear stories like this.
And you're like, oh, wait, there is a reason we have IRBs, right?
No kidding, eh? And number two, like, gene editing is coming. And everybody who refuses to mess with their genes is probably going to end up in the underclass, right? Is that, like, is that what's going to happen, basically?
I don't think so.
No. You know what? It's really scary, right? Because you're like, then, like, there's a slippery slope. Like, even if we're not talking about, like, what we call designer baby stuff, is, like, what ends up, what aspects of a person's, like, genome ends up being seen as inadequate, right?
Or undesirable.
Or undesirable, or even seen as a disorder, right? Or abnormal, right? It's like, you know what I mean? If this was going down like 300 years ago, you know what I mean? Or actually, I shouldn't say 300 years ago, right after emancipation, I'm sure they'd be editing out anything having to do with my melanin at this point in time, right?
And that's
problematic. Like, I have a student who's working on this, who's working on a project looking at, I'm trying to remember what the disorder is called, but it's the disorder that is, that's associated with individuals, being, what's called abnormally short, having abnormally short stature, and how more and more families, especially families with boys, are opting to give them human growth hormone because that's seen as abnormal and something that will limit their life chances. What other things are we going to start medicalizing in this way and believing we need to edit out?
Right. And we don't know too what diseases will come down the pike that by editing the human genome, we've gotten rid of some possibility of resistance and some set of genes that might be protective. Right?
Yep. Like sickle cell trait, for example.
It's like unintended consequence. But here's the thing. It is coming, right? Like, it's coming. There's no way we're going to stop. Is this something that we should be fighting tooth and nail? Or is this something like it's going to happen, so we might as well start planning for a smooth transition into our our genetically engineered stage of human history where we're all like, lab-managed beings.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, even one of the scientists who actually helped to develop CRISPR, I remember watching her in an interview, and she was saying, like, she'd had this dream, right? That, you know, the people at her institution, I can't remember where she is, the head of her department said, oh, there's someone who's really interested in your work who'd really like to meet you. And they walk into the conference room and the chair spins around and it's Adolf Hitler.
Oh, geez.
Right. And, you know, so even she is like, oh, my
God,
like, what hath we wrought?
Yes. Yes. And maybe some of this is, I don't want to say inevitable, but definitely coming, but I don't think that means that we have to abandon all the questions about it or give up any attempt at regulation or scientific consensus or dialogue with, folks concerned with ethics and religion. And right, I think this needs to be a much deeper, longer discussion that's probably subject to some sort of international agreements and regulation.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder. So you figure by the time we're all grandparents and our grandchildren come and tell us that they're pregnant and they're looking to have an 8 foot tall.
I don't think it's coming that soon. I mean, my kids are younger than yours, but I don't think it's coming that soon.
Well, maybe that'll be a definitive 4 year difference.
Yeah. I mean, but I think there are two issues here, right? I mean, I think that the scientific community will come together in order to create, rules and regulations and have like a very long list of things that can and cannot be done.
Yes.
But that doesn't prevent rogue people, right, from going off and using the technology for other means.
It does not. Yeah.
So Leslie, have you been doing work on CRISPR? Or?
No. So I haven't been, I have not been doing work on CRISPR at all. Like I just, like the work that I do really is just looking at race and the whole new genomic revolution and what that means in terms of whether or not, you know, we're doing yet another 180 and saying, you know what, forget about the whole social constructionist, you know, sort of view of race that we have. We are going into this whole brave new world where, God darn it, we are going to find those genes that show us that race is actually a genetic thing. Right. That's what that's the work that I'm doing. This whole CRISPR thing was just Bill Nye called and I showed up.
Why not? Right.
Yeah. You don't say no to Bill Nye.
No, you don't.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.